Hello and welcome back to the show. Today with us we have Dr. Manoj Malu, who is an NHS consultant in sexual health and has been working in the field of sexual health and HIV medicine since 1998. Dr. Malu is also the director and co-founder of Clearwell Clinics, which is an independent and specialist clinic dedicated to solving sexual health problems. Really lucky to have Dr. Malu on the show today. And firstly, Dr. Malu, it'd be great to hear a little bit about yourself and Clearwell Clinics and about what you do.
I have trained in the field and worked in under some of the most eminent names in the field of GU medicine and HIV medicine in the UK. And we founded Clearwell Clinics about 6 years ago, where we bring together the best of the technology and service together to meet the needs of our clients who expect world-class sexual health services. And we've got a small team of very dedicated, knowledgeable, and committed clinicians with whose help we are able to do that.
Absolutely. No, you're doing some really great work in the field, and I know you get to help so many people, which is amazing. And moving on to what we're going to speak about today, so kind of sexual health in regards to STIs, I'd love to know a little bit more just about STIs in general that you kind of experience often or people coming to with issues with, and the kind of risk factors associated with that.
Good one. First, I'll address the question between STIs and STDs. Quite often, I ask Dr. Malu, what is the difference between infections and STIs and STDs? Infection is when you have it, and disease is when you have it and when you have got the symptoms too. That's the
Okay.
main difference. And the thing is that there are people who would be having the infections without realizing that. Sometimes they don't even realize that they put themselves at risk. It could be because you might be in what you believe to be a monogamous relationship, but your partner may have other sexual contacts without your knowledge. Sometimes people don't realize, sorry to be blunt here, receiving and giving oral sex as sex at all. And a huge amount of STI transmission, certainly with regards to chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, they happen to just receiving and giving oral sex. And sometimes, on the other hand, sometimes people think that they have used the condoms and protection consistently. But if you're drunk and if you're tired and you are in the moment of heat and passion, you may not even remember exactly how well your protection works. The other thing I would like to add, if I may, is this, that the protection that you get from condoms is relative in the sense that, for example, certain infections like herpes and HPV, the virus can be transmitted. That means transmitted from one person to the other and received from one person to the other, despite using condom, because the viral shedding occurs much more widely than what condom can cover necessarily.
Yeah, no, that's really important to know, I think. And I think, yeah, definitely, with regards to what you said about condoms, people think that that will fix all the issues and completely protect you. But yeah, as you said, there can definitely still be transmission there. And I'd love to know a little bit more about the STIs that people perhaps haven't heard about. Most people have heard about chlamydia, gonorrhea, those kind of things. But I'd love to hear a bit more about the mycoplasma, genitalium, and things like that, and just to really what the symptoms of that, what that does, the impact that can have.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age, Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you. That's a very pertinent question. And Mycoplasma genitalium, although we have known this infection for nearly 40 years, It has begun to hit the headlines and curiosity of individuals over the last 4 to 5 years. That's simply because the tests have become available, which are very reliable and great quality, which are PCR-based tests. It's a very different infection from chlamydia, very different infection from gonorrhea. Very different tests is required. Very different antibiotics are needed to treat them. But in terms of the symptoms that you will have, the consequences you will have, the sequelae you will have would be very similar to what you will have with chlamydia and gonorrhea. So if you have symptoms which you believe is because of, you know, you thought from chlamydia or from gonorrhea, and you had your test done and they're negative, and you may wonder what exactly is happening here, then get yourself tested for mycoplasma, because it could be mycoplasma. Or infrequently we see where patients have had gonorrhea, they have had the treatment for gonorrhea, and for the time being they feel better. And the subsequent test may appear to be negative again, but symptoms are back. And you may wonder, you know, I have not put myself to any further risk since I had my test and antibiotics. What exactly is going on here? It could be underlying second infection that has not been looked for, had not been detected, has not been treated, causing you symptoms. And that's your mycoplasma genitalium. And the other thing to remember is this. STIs hunt in packs. So if you have got chlamydia, quite often you will also have gonorrhea. In fact, 50% of patients who will have gonorrhea will also have chlamydia. You know, and if you have got chlamydia or gonorrhea or both, ask yourself why you couldn't have mycoplasma genitalium, why you couldn't have trichomoniasis, why couldn't you have STIs, which are blood detected on generally blood tests like syphilis, because as you probably know, syphilis, again, is a classical infection. But when I speak to a lot of young people, a lot of people don't know about it. It's like a new infection. And it's one of the oldest STIs we have known.
That's really interesting. I guess that kind of moves us on to the question of testing and modern day STI tests. And what kind of, do all of these different STIs show up on the at-home STI kits? Like, what do you kind of have to look for in an STI kit? How would you recommend people get properly tested so that they're testing for all these different diseases?
Right. The range of services available in the NHS as well as through the private sector. Make sure you pick up, if you're going for online tests, that they're reliable organizations and that and what is very important is that the sample quality taken is of good quality. The lab can only work on the sample that you have sent. You follow the recommendations on taking the best sample you can. That's your bit. When the samples are taken, what test will be done is generally available to you even before you're sending the test. Now, with the NHS online test, generally they will not check you for trichomoniasis and mycoplasma genitalium.
Okay.
And so if you have, because you have to remember that most of these online tests are designed for peace of mind, looking for common infections. They're not meant to be very comprehensive. So if you've got online symptoms and you have got had online tests results which are negative, seek further advice whether further testing is necessary. You know, online test is beginning of the care, not the end of the care. There are organizations who will do the tests, some of the tests that are not necessary, for example. Quite often I'll see people have been tested for Mycoplasma hominis. Sounds very similar to genitalium, very different bug. Ureaplasma parvum, Ureaplasma genitalium, urealyticum. And people then get to the online resources of information, skewed and biased information quite often, and begin to worry unnecessarily, and worse still, begin to take the antibiotic they don't need in first place.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, that's definitely a key thing to look out for. So I think, yeah, that must be something that people have got to watch out for as to what they're actually testing and whether they need to take further steps. I think that's really, really useful.
Another thing is that have the samples been taken from the right place, particularly for the women who have given oral sex? It's very important a swab is taken from the mouth as well. I know that most of the time, women will take their samples these days, self-taken high vaginal swab. Perfect. But don't forget to get a swab done from the mouth as well, because as the sample taken from the genitalia will only tell you if you had infection down there or not. It will not tell you what's happening in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And every now and then I see women who are surprised that, I've met somebody new and ended up passing infection to them, thinking I had a checkup and everything was good. Mm-hmm. It was good. Your mouth was not checked. So don't miss the mouth. Don't omit the oral cavity.
Yeah, no, that's really important, I think, and something that, I think a lot of people forget. And obviously testing is so important, and I'd love to know a bit more about how it can impact your fertility if you leave it untreated. Like, how does that work? How would you kind of explain that to the listeners?
Very good question. There are two aspects to this. One is that there are three key infections in terms of STIs which tend to affect the fertility.
Mm-hmm.
One is Chlamydia trachomatis, second one is gonorrhea, and third one is Mycoplasma genitalium. There is an STI, which is there's an infection which is not necessarily an STI, which is called bacterial vaginosis, which is kind of imbalance of bacteria. And sometimes that also, just like those three other STIs I just mentioned, can produce what is called pelvic inflammatory disease, PID. And it's the PID, because of inflammation in the uterine cavity and the tubes and surrounding area, that's what leads to infertility. So if you have got symptoms down below, for example, pelvic pain, bleeding after sexual contact, unexpected intermenstrual bleeding, unusual discharge, when you go for STI test, you only look for the STIs. Generally, there's no way of finding out if you've got bacterial vaginosis or not through those tests. There's no way of finding whether you've got pelvic inflammatory disease, PID, which can only be picked up for practical purposes by clinical examination. So when you have got just the online STI tests, quite often you miss the opportunity of getting diagnosed if you've got underlying pelvic inflammatory disease. When we look at the, you know, effect on fertility, more important is that how long your infection has been, how acute the infection has been, have you been having recurrent infections, has your infections been properly treated or not, have you diagnosed all the underlying causes of your PID rather than just picking up on treating that and hoping that everything is taken care of.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do a lot of work with people that experience recurrent BV. So yeah, we with our vaginal swabs to test the microbiome, because I think people don't realize that, that as you said, that chronic inflammation and infection in the area really can have an impact on so many things, including fertility, pain, inflammation, etc. So I think that's something that, yeah, not all STI tests test for. They obviously test for like the common culprits, but they don't test for things like in the BV and things like that, which is something, yeah, that we at Screamy do a lot of as well. So yeah, that's a really important point. And well, I think we work with a lot of people who experience that. So that's kind of broached some of the important reasons as to why or how it's related to fertility and your STIs. But I'd love to know a little bit about how listeners can really prevent and really protect their sexual health through preventative approaches.
Thank you. Nothing is better than prevention, because, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that saying. One is, select your partner carefully. You know, funny it may sound, but quite often patients will come and tell me, Dr. Malu, there were red flags and I just ignored. You know, if somebody is, you know, not keen to use condoms, you know, if somebody is not prepared to get tested, if they're not able to talk about sexual health openly and in a respectful and constructive manner, see, you know, what the livelihood of other person, you know, have they been having, you know, how seriously they take their own sexual health. There are things that you can pick up that you may decide that, okay, I'm going to proceed or I'm not going to proceed.
I think it's, yeah, as you said, I think it's just really important to say that that's actually not okay behavior to, if someone's refusing to take any kind of contraception or to get tested, that's actually abusive. And I think that that's something that people should be aware of and not stand for that kind of behavior. I think if you want to be in a sexual relationship with someone, they've got to take your sexual health just as seriously as they take theirs. And to compromise that, I think is, yeah, really not something people should have to put up with. And there's, yeah, support available for that.
Absolutely. Having said that, of course, use condoms. You get yourself tested regularly. Encourage your partners to get tested regularly. You know, take pride in your test results. And you share with your partner that, look, you know, I've got tested. Everything is good. Have you had done yours recently? Is everything all right? Because we know one can have infection without us realizing, without us having any symptoms. The only way to know is to test. And normalize testing.
Absolutely.
That is, you know, that you don't have to have the test because, you know, you're guilty of something or you have symptoms. It should be part of healthy lifestyle. You know, you take your car for a long drive to Scotland from London. What do you do? You check your oil, make sure tires are in good shape, tire pressure is good. Same thing, every Valentine's Day, make it, we are long
Exactly.
distance from Valentine's Day, but
Testing
I always encourage, I always encourage people, that's the ritual of Valentine's Day. It should start with, an STI test in the morning, together, make sure everything is wonderful. And happy days for until the next Valentine's Day again. And of course, using condoms, getting comprehensive STI test done, take responsibility for what is being offered to you. Sometimes doctors, even in the NHS setting, they will offer you the select range of tests, but if they know the greater details about your clinical case, then they will be prepared to, and they will offer you extended tests, advanced tests, repeat the test when necessary. Doing the test too early also can be counterproductive. You have to give it enough window period for the test to pick up what you're looking for. And I'll go back to the most important thing. The quality of sample is very important. And at this point, I'll also mention, if I may, that just like everybody knows from COVID times what is a rapid test and what is a molecular diagnostic PCR test. Same thing with the STI test, particularly like chlamydia and gonorrhea. I'm aware that there are clinics in this country, even in central London, who will do some rapid tests for chlamydia and gonorrhea rather than molecular diagnostic tests. So when you're having the test done, make sure these are PCR or NAT-based tests rather than simple tests. You should get the best test because if you're spending the money as well, might get reliable test results.
Absolutely. And I think, you hit the nail on the head there. There's also a lot of stigma attached to testing, but I think it's actually that one a healthy practice and something that should really be prioritized. And I think it's not something that should be looked upon with shame. It's actually being proactive and protective of your health. So that's something that we would encourage everyone to do regularly, as you said as well. And I mean, I think that's a really great way of putting it. As you said, checking your oil before you go on a long drive. I think it's, really important and a really good message.
And remember that, again, going back to fertility, because there's something very close to my heart, is this, that the effect of fertility from infection, we all fear, but there's something else happening. As we become older, our fertility goes down, or ovarian reserve goes down. And these things tend to have the combined effect. There's not much we can do in terms of our biological, maturing process, but we can certainly take the preventive measures like regular STI checks and make sure there's no underlying low-grade PID to prevent any complications there. The other thing that not to forget is have the vaccines, the right vaccines, based on your risk profile. For example, hepatitis B, the vaccines are available. And, it's not something that is being given to us in the UK in our childhood as part of a normal vaccination program. But if you think that, you might be at risk of getting the infection from a partner, then get yourself vaccinated. As you know, that the vaccine for HPV has been in practice for last 10, 15, 20 years, starting with the girls, young girls first, and then gay men till the age of 45, and then the young boys now. And, it's something, worth discussing with your doctor, even if you have gone past what is believed to be traditional age for HPV vaccination. You may be eligible, and you may benefit from it on case-by-case basis, and you shouldn't miss the opportunity.
Absolutely. I think you've done a really good job at explaining how sexual health is such a key component of our health in so many aspects, health and well-being. And I think that's something that's really important, and people need to take it as seriously as they do other aspects of their health. I couldn't agree more. But that kind of brings me to the end of my questions. I'd just love to thank you so much for coming on. I'd love to ask, is there anything else that you want to mention, anything else that you want to say before we wrap up today?
The only thing I'll say is that when everybody is at risk of STI. You know, anybody
Okay.
who is born is at risk of STI. Remember, some of the STIs are transmitted at the time of birth. For example, herpes. You know, for example, if not receiving proper maternal health care, even HIV, syphilis, you know, I can go on. You know, gonorrhea in the eyes of the newborn. So don't look at these infections not as exclusively sexually transmitted. The transmission can also happen in non-sexual way. They tend to be primarily driven through sexual contact, but not exclusively.
Absolutely. Yeah, everyone, I think, yeah, I can agree. Everyone's got to consider their sexual health, regardless of any, whatever your lifestyle, age, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's something that's really important for everyone. But that, yeah, thank you very, very much for coming onto the show. This was really, really interesting and something that I know will really help a lot of people who are trying to navigate this field. Thank you so much, Dr. Malu.
Thank you and have a good day.